This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open. And here we go again after a Jags loss of 27-13 to the division rival Houston Texans. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor is out of here, and we're ready for some phone calls. I guess we're ready for some phone calls.
Yeah, we're always ready for the phone calls. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I think we know what their reaction is. We know how it is after they lose compared to how it is after they win, JP. But I think Fred said something. You know, he said, look, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, let's just state the facts. They don't have enough playmakers right now. And right now they don't. And it's, you know, it's a combination of that with the offensive line isn't an elite unit right now, so they're not getting the best protection. There's still a lot of mistakes of youth that are being made. Even, I mean, Marquise Lee is starting to look like he's going to be a playmaker.
Absolutely. Okay?
So you can say you've got a young guy who's just scratching the surface of that, but he's not fully developed to where he's going to be next year, 3 years from now. And he's going to continue to get better, you would hope. And he's just kind of feeling his way through the National Football League. Alan Hurns is a solid guy, but look, he's an undrafted rookie for a reason. You've gotten more out of Alan Hurns this year than you ever had any business to expect. Cecil Shorts didn't help his quarterback out today.
Nope, got to make the catch.
You know, he dropped a few. Clay Harbor had a drop today. I thought clearly, you know, the best game for Mercedes Lewis since his return from injury. Wasn't a very high bar, but regardless, it was good to see him get loose a little bit. And I thought today we saw a lot of different type screen passes. We saw the tight end screen. We saw the little flare passes to Toby Gerhardt coming out of the backfield. We saw the one to Marquise Lee.
Out to the left.
Yeah. Right, where he caught that. And when that doesn't work, it looks terrible. Okay, that's one of those places you're like, why are you throwing it a yard behind? You know, you're throwing a yard laterally almost, and you're asking him to pick up 3 yards with guys right in front of him. But that's the design of the play. You get one block, and he's got to make somebody miss, and he did that, and that's the intent of that play. He is that slippery, can be that elusive in the open field. So they did a nice job on some of those plays, but they've got to get bigger strikes down.
Well, wasn't it just a few weeks ago when everybody's calling in and commenting that, why are they throwing so many screen plays? What is all this? Because they weren't working at the time.
Correct.
At certain times. Well, you know what? When they work, they look great, and you can get some things done, especially with this kind of offense, that you got to take it in short chunks, and if it's given to you like that, they did it okay today.
Yeah. Two crippling plays today: the interception, which set up the opportunity for Houston to go ahead by two scores, and then when you've got a chance on 4th and 1, and Arian Foster runs into the back of his lineman at the 3-yard line
exactly.
And comes to a dead stop, somebody's got to rally to the football there, because if you do, well, then it's a 4-point game. And, you know, it's a completely different dynamic. Once, I think, the way the flow of the offense was going in the second half, once they got down there by 11, it was going to be a pretty severe uphill climb for this team to get back and win the football game.
That's right.
355-NFL-1, the number 355-6351. If you'd like to get on board, if you're outside the 904 area code, 1-800-355-6351. Got to take a peek up on the board. All right, let's go to Steve in Riverside. Start us off today. I got a speaker right in my way. I had to look around the
they
speaker
there
for a
second. That's right.
Steve in Riverside, you're first up today on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm just on my way home from the game. Very disappointing, you know, after last week. Just one question and a couple little comments. I've been a season ticket holder for the whole 20 years, and I love going to the games, win or lose. More fun when we win, but I still love being there. But I don't understand why, like today, you're at 4th and 20, and they're toward the end of the game. Yep. And instead of just lofting a Hail Mary pass, there's no way you could win the game. And instead of just lofting the ball and putting five receivers out or whatever, and hoping somebody will Why in the world would Bortles throw a screen pass? That just seems absolutely, I don't know, that seems insane to me and amateurish to even do that. I would like you, off the air, I'd like you to tell me why somebody would do that. That just makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. The other thing is, I don't understand why he never lost the ball anyway. Every time I go to a Jaguars game, I have to go home and turn the TV on so I can see a real ball game where real quarterbacks throw balls 20, 30, 40 yards downfield several times a game. Maybe they're successful, maybe they're not, but at least they do it. I don't understand why the whole entire game, with Bortles, all he throws is these little rinky-dink screen passes and short passes. I mean, we're never going to get anywhere with him if he doesn't start lofting the thing. But the main thing I'd like to answer is 4th and 20.
We got you. Right. Why are you checking it down on 4th and 20?
Well, that makes sense because we asked the same exact thing right here.
We were watching the game. Mike, we said the same thing.
The same thing.
Throw it up. Just throw it up underhand.
It's
I don't care.
Just throw it. I mean, who?
Well, I mean, it's fourth down. What can happen if it's incomplete? The odds now. The only time I've ever seen that work is, remember the hey diddle diddle Ray Rice up the middle, right?
Man,
they dump it up to Ray Rice.
It's like 4th and 30 something,
right?
Wasn't it?
And that worked, but that's the one that almost proves the rule that you don't do that. That's the one example. Okay, one time it's going to work. I think what happens is, as a quarterback, this is my guess. You don't want to just throw the idea of throwing something up for grabs is so ingrained. You're trying to avoid mistakes. You're trying to avoid turnovers. So here, you give your guy a chance. All right, if you break that initial tackle, everybody's playing loose coverage, probably 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. Maybe he can get ahead of steam. Maybe he can make one guy miss. I'm not saying that's likely, and I'm not saying he should have chose that option, because we sat here, JP, as you're saying, and we said, just throw it up for grass if it's picked off on. What if you get a pass interference? The way they're throwing flags this year on defensive interference and holding and all these other things, you got a much better chance, obviously,
and
in that circumstance.
We didn't see what was downfield. We didn't see the replay or any of that, so we can't
throw it up, because what's the difference if it's batted down? Well, it's fourth down anyway. If it's intercepted, it's better, as the guy said on the broadcast. As far as not throwing downfield, we're going to go through this every week of the season, okay? I thought he threw a couple balls downfield today.
Yeah, Marquise Lee had a nice catch.
Clay Harbor dropped one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, he took another shot to Allen Hurns, I believe, up the left sideline, if I'm not mistaken on that, right?
That's right. Allen didn't turn around. Remember?
Right, now Allen Hurns never turned around. He took a shot down the field. So there were a few plays there. Keep in mind, you're going against the best pass rusher in the game, okay? And as Gus Bradley said in the postgame, he says, I think – You can't know for sure, but I think when we go back and watch the film, we're going to say he did a great job evading pressure today. When you are pressured, it's hard to set up and have the time to fire shots down the field. This has been a season-long thing. We've talked about guys not getting open at times, okay? At times, you got a rookie quarterback who's probably not letting plays develop. At times, your offensive line is not giving you the protection, the combination of the line and the backs picking up the blitz. I didn't feel like they never threw the ball. They did throw a lot of screens today, but I didn't feel that it was that they didn't score that because it was due to a lack of attempts down the field. The ones they attempted weren't very successful. But that's okay. I mean, I think we understand. We've been getting that all season. When the Jags lose, why didn't they do this? And, you know, that's just the way it goes, and I get that. I'm not saying we want to see them be more successful throwing the ball down the field, but outside of Marquise Lee, they don't have that burner. It's just going to make a guy miss. Allen Hurns is a guy that's got to set his man up, and you have to block that up, and conditions have to be perfect for him to get open deep, and we've had a couple of instances of that this year.
The Blood Alliance is making a special call out to anyone with type O blood. They're at a critically low capacity for type O. If you're type O positive or O negative, please donate this week to the Blood Alliance, either at the Gift of Life Blood Drive Tuesday in the East Touchdown Club at Everbank Field or at a Blood Alliance location near you. We'll take our first time out. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Your reaction to the 27-13 loss to the Houston Texans. We continue with the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The phone lines are open after the Jags fall to the Houston Texans. 27-13, the final. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey on the Scoreboard Show.
I need some people who are ticked off today, because ticked off is better than apathetic, right? We don't want, with three games to go,
yeah.
I hope the feeling is still that there's frustration that at missed opportunities and all that, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
You know, the players trying to fight down to the final month of the season. Hopefully the fans will go along for the ride.
Some scores of active games in the league. The Broncos with a 14-3 lead over the Bills. That's a two-minute warning in the first half. Buffalo facing a fourth down. They'll have to give the Broncos another opportunity. Minute to go first half in Arizona. Chiefs lead the Cardinals 14-6. The Cardinals have the ball coming out of their own end. About 11 minutes to go in the second quarter. Seahawks-Eagles tied at 7. Wilson had a touchdown run earlier, I believe. And about 9 minutes to play in the first half in Oakland. The Raiders lead the 49ers 10-7. The Battle of the Bay. And, of course, tonight, Patriots at the Chargers as the nightcap.
Don't look now. Raiders. Red
hot. Red hot Raiders.
Red hot. After losing 52-0 last week, they are they're back to being red hot. All right, the number, 355-NFL-1, Saqib on the south side.
Oh, boy.
Saqib, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up?
Man, I'm pissed off, okay? And I'm going to explain to you guys why. I know I complain more than anybody else that call you guys.
No, come on, Saqib.
I'm just mad about it. What's going on? Where are we heading to? I'm going to give you one example. Minus 1 yard at one point till the Mercedes Lewis catches that big old pass. It's the play calling is horrible. I say it every single week, and I'm going to keep saying it until that Jeff Fish gets fired, until we get somebody else on here that really can play call better than him. And the defense has not done what they did last week. They just got to, I mean, Arian Foster was having a field day, and it's not fair that they have to put us through this every single year, that we have to pay our hard-earned money to come see what? It's nothing. I mean, next year we're going to be the same thing, excuses after excuses, every single week, and it's not fair what they're putting us through. It's ridiculous.
Well, all right.
I
don't think he likes play calling.
I know he doesn't. I think there are a lot of people that complain about the play calling. When the play calling doesn't result in points, I understand that's part of the issue, I'm sure, but I think it goes back to a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it goes back to what Fred Taylor is talking about here. Incredibly young team. Lacking mature playmakers. You have potential playmakers. You know, many guys, if anybody, right now, if you're in Houston's defensive meeting, if you're in Baltimore's meeting this week, who are you saying, all right, number one priority, we got to stop this guy?
Yeah,
there's not that one guy, right, that you start things off with, and then it becomes kind of a chain reaction of if we got to pay a little more attention to him, that's less attention we can pay over here. There isn't that one guy that stands out. I thought Jed Fish was a little more creative today. I thought he mixed it up a lot today. Now, was it effective? Not always. So when it's not effective, it's bad, right? That's the nature of it, right? Arian Foster, is it a good play call when you run him on 3rd and 13? Well, it is when he runs for the first down, okay? And if he gets stuffed for a 3-yard gain, you say, well, you gave up on the play. That's what you do, and that's the kind of the nature of the offense coordinator position.
That's the frustrating part. Second half last week was when it got a little more creative, the wildcat and all that, and the weird alignment for the touchdown pass to Lee, and they started the first half with that kind of stuff. It was Sam Young was lined up way out to the left one time for a pass. They got some yardage on that play.
Man, Denard throw it.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff has not happened. So they're doing all they can.
Honestly, the play to put Blake in motion and have him slip under center and do the quarterback sneak, I thought was a very creative play.
That's
I don't
cool.
know if I've ever seen that.
I
thought it worked, even though the refs gave him a bad spot on the place. But I'm sure Saqib is not alone in that, because look, they're struggling to score points. You can't say Jed Fish is having a great year when the team isn't scoring a lot of points, whether he has the raw material to work with or not. you know, if you're not putting up the numbers, it's natural, I think, for fans to point the fingers at a variety of areas, and that includes the OC. Let's go to Eddie in OP. Eddie in Orange Park, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hello, guys. JP, Mike, I have a question. I'm looking more at a defensive perspective.
Okay.
I was seeing the linebackers, these young fellas, these young linebackers and defensive backs, are constantly throwing their bodies, launching themselves, instead of wrapping. I saw that a couple of times. It was very frustrating. They get there. They have good speed. But like Cyprian on the Arian Foster touchdown, when they when he ran into his own guy and he was 3 yards back,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, there's nobody on the end, and Cyprian comes running and diving at his feet. And I'm going, dude, all you got to do is stand up and just wrap the guy. And instead, I watched it at the other end. When I think it was 52, I don't know if that's Smith or the no, that's not Smith, that's the other guy, Thomas. He went flying by. Instead of just rapping, these guys are constantly, these guys are men. You're equal. Quit trying to knock them down. Just rap the guys. It's just blocking and tackling. Get them on the ground. So did you notice the same thing or what?
I noticed that throughout the NFL, to be honest with you. Oh, don't you serious? I mean, it's become
It's not a tackle league. It's a force a turnover, make a big hit, see what you can do with the football kind of league.
Right. It's not the fundamental. And part of that, and I'm not believe me, have the Jags tackled exceptionally well this year? No. Okay? So I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to give you reasons why some of this happens is you have at most, one padded practice a week, one contact practice a week throughout the course of the season.
You're not tackling, you know?
Fred will tell you. Fred Taylor will tell you. When he was here and Coughlin was here, they were going full on contact, tackle, to the ground kind of practices. The collective bargaining agreement has changed your ability to do a lot of that, and tackling has suffered as a league-wide problem.
Sure it has.
You know, so, but it is frustrating when you see that. We saw it last week with Josh Evans come in, and he tries to blow up or at least knock the feet out from Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham misses or makes a miss, goes for a big gain. And he does it a little bit later on, and he completely blows up a play. Same technique. So, again, when it's effective, it's effective. And that's kind of the nature of the beast. And I think people have long complained. If you're longing for the days of the return to the rap tackling game, you're probably not going to see it in the NFL anytime soon.
Well, I've been looking forward to that, Mike. I mean, come on.
I know
you're disappointed.
Hey, kids, come on out and see this game today. See? Yeah, it's like this. Here we go.
Battle on the gridiron.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, JP. We're gonna get the highlights in the movie theater in black and white, too.
Yeah.
That's coming.
That'll be great. More of your calls coming up, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. They might be a forward pass in there somewhere, too. You never know.
Mix it in. Get crazy.
More of your calls coming up. We'll look at scores around the league as well. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
27-13, the final. Texans are now 7-6. They are alive. They are alive. The Jags are 2-11. They are not alive for anything in the postseason.
Texans would have been a lot more alive had Indy not pulled off a ridiculous final drive comeback.
Incredible, man.
Really not doing much at all today. Andrew Luck had a shaky game. Cleveland capitalized. Had him down 21-7 at one point. And down on the final drive, it was 21-19. The Colts got off sequence going for two at one point in that game. And they had a 4th-and-1. And Dan Heron got stuffed again, did a little spin move, and eked out a first down. And so it was first to go at the 1, probably under a minute to go, I think it was at that point in time. T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne run into each other on the pattern. Hilton just decided, I'll just sprint out to the flat. Luck dumped it to him, touchdown. And same score as the Jags won by last week, 25-24, and the Colts on the brink of wrapping up that AFC South title.
They'll play Houston next week and see if they can get that done. Other scores currently, it's about 3 minutes left in the first half. Broncos lead the Bills 14-3. Chiefs over the Cardinals at the half, 14-6. Seahawks-Eagles 7-7, 6 minutes left. First half, 6 minutes left in the first half in Oakland. The Raiders still lead 10-7. They're driving. 3rd-and-1 near midfield. And Patriots-Chargers should be a good one tonight.
Let's hope so. Let's go back to the lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Hags out in Orange Park. How you doing, Hags?
Okay, guys. You know, I never played organized football. Love the game, love to watch it. You know, and I know that doesn't make me an expert or anything, but, I don't understand what's going on, why, you know, and maybe you guys can explain why we still have guys like tight ends running wide open in the middle of the field, actually falling down and almost able to get up and crawl into the end zone because they were so wide open. And guys just not playing contain on a quarterback like Fitzpatrick does not. I mean, I know he's somewhat mobile, but he's not Fran Tarkenton out there. I know the guy, I've been a season to told us day one, and I know the people in the section were just, you know, we're just fed up. I mean, it's, you know, we went through 8 years of Del Rio, always telling us to get better. We went through all the years, you know, with Harris. You know, it's just frustrating. You know, it's just, you know what good football is, and that's just not it. Guys are just not playing for themselves. They're not playing discipline. It's just frustrating.
It is, but that's what this was going to be, right? I mean, with the team this young, and we always go back to the youth and all that, but that's the way it is. When you clean the house up like that, it starts like this, and young players are inconsistent, and there's so many young players that they're inconsistent all at the same time. That's the way it works.
And I think when you lose, the frustration is right there on the surface. I mean, you talk about the play. It was Ryan Griffin who caught that ball, right? Blown coverage, and he almost rolled into the end zone. Mm-hmm. That's on a day when Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 135 yards.
Yeah.
He threw for 135 yards. He did not – there were not guys running wide open on the secondary today. That play, yes, there was a busted coverage on the play, right? And when you're a team like the Jags and your margin for error is razor thin, you can't have even one of those, okay? You can't have that one time you lose Ryan Fitzpatrick. But what are you going to key on, JP? You got Arian Foster's been one of the best touchdown scorers of this generation inside the 10-yard line, and Ryan Fitzpatrick ends up being the guy you're going to run it in with. Ryan Fitzpatrick on the day ran, what did he run? 8 times for 19 yards. He didn't do anything on the ground. It's not like they lost containment. It's one play. And I know that's so frustrating for fans because it's frustrating for us to hear, too. We're a couple plays away. Well, that's assuming all those plays all fall into line for you. You can't be 7 plays away and expect all 7 of those plays to go your way every week. You don't have enough margin for error, enough comfort zone. That's why we talked about the need to get off to a fast start today. The Jags were able to do that, certainly by their standards. We're leading 7-3 at the end of the quarter, leading at the half today. And that was an NFL game. That was back and forth. You know, nobody really dominated one thing or the other, but then the offense is completely fell apart in the second half. They had the ball for 9 minutes, time of possession roughly, in the second half, less than 75 yards in half number two. So major growing pains. I get the frustration, but when you say, why are guys running wide open, it's one busted coverage on that particular one. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 6 touchdowns last week, threw for 135 yards with no touchdowns this week. It was good enough to win, and I get it. It's frustrating because you didn't really build on the momentum you felt you had last week, but you know you're not going to get those defensive touchdowns every week, and that's the difference between this game and last week's game. If you scored a couple of – you didn't get any turnovers, you didn't get any defensive scores, you scored about the same amount of points offensively. Blake did about the same in terms of passing yardage. You did have the one turnover. That was a negative. You can't count on that. That's why last week's win, while it makes you feel good and, you know, your mistakes get washed away when you win – the reality is we kind of knew the offense has not been holding up its end of the bargain of late. It did enough to help out the defense last week, but when the defense is not playing on that collective Pro Bowl level, it's going to be tough for this team to win games right now.
That's true.
There you
all
go.
All that is true. All of it.
Speech over.
Well
355 NFL1. Todd is in Jacksonville
Beach.
You
summed it up well, Mike.
Next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. I love the show. I'm a huge Jags fan, and I'm also frustrated, but love this team. But I think what got me today was, like the guy said before, was the lack of tackling. I mean, I played football as a kid, and man, if you take a guy's feet off the ground, he can't run anymore. These guys don't do that. They arm tackle. And one thing that really got me today was there was a play, I don't know what, who designed the play or what happened, but Jokel just barely tapped J.J. Watt, let him come right in, and then he sacks the quarterback. What was that play? I mean, what was the design for that play? What was that play supposed to do? Does anybody know? Because Jokel just barely touched Watt, went to the left, and Watt just killed Bortles.
Yeah, we couldn't tell you, obviously, what the play design is. Jed Fish could tell you. Maybe that's a situation. I don't know. Maybe that's a situation where J.J. thinks he, or Luke thinks he has help.
Maybe.
With J.J. Watt.
Maybe.
And somebody else is going to pick him up. Couldn't tell you on that.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt's good,
he's
too.
A good player, too. I mean, he's going to get his. You know, unless you had that feeling coming in, you're going to stop him all day.
Right.
I mean,
but,
come on now.
But there are – I understand, you know, what Todd's saying. There are instances when you're like, really? I mean, I know he's good, but let's not help him be better than he needs to be
right
today. So, you know.
Yeah.
Frustrating. Shall we get another one? What are we going to do?
Yeah. Okay.
Right,
let's
get Oddie. I think it's Oddie. He's on his way back to Valdosta. Next up on the Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Few notes. We'll start off with Cecil Shorts. I mean, I hate to say it's about a Jags player, but he's garbage. I mean, he is. Today was pathetic. That drop pass when I hit him in the chest and bounced 10 feet away from him, that was awful. As far as the O coordinator, I mean, unlike the rest, I wouldn't mind seeing a new guy next year, but there's times where the O-line, in particular Jokel and the new guy Young today, were getting blown up. I mean, it was sad. I think Bortles took, what, 4 sacks today, something like that?
I'll check.
Really should have taken more. I mean, there was one time he escaped 2 potential sacks. I mean, the guys are just not protecting. We just need to get better at that. What's sad is, you know, Jokel's up 2nd overall pick a couple of years ago, so that's, or last year, I guess. That's no good. Anyway, like the show, guys. A big comment there.
All right, thanks Oddie. Appreciate
the
4 sacks.
Right. Yeah, 4 sacks on Bortles today. The short stuff is frustrating because he's the veteran guy of the group, and he's fought through some injury issues earlier in the year to stick around and be on the field and try to be productive, but I don't know what else to say about that. He's going to be the first one to tell you he should have caught the balls today and should have played better.
And those are the ones that I think drive you crazy more than anything. Because, look, sometimes –
because we saw youth, oh, rookie, okay, it's a drop ball. It was a weird coverage. Something happened. No, Cecil's been around.
No, so. Cecil, even with the rookie, when the ball – in the pros, you need to catch the football when it's a catchable ball. You got to help your quarterback out. You got enough things that you're trying to overcome. Sometimes that – guy J.J. Watt's going to beat you. Okay, you can live with some of that because you know how good the guy is, but that's beating yourself. That's the classic definition of beating yourself. When the ball hits you in the chest, you got a running start, you got 3 yards of separation between you and the defender, and you're going to pick up what looks like an easy first down and maybe much more, and you just don't do the most basic elemental thing there. You don't catch football.
Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ford. Go further. We'll come back in a moment. Recap the scores of active games. More of your calls as well. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Back in the Scoreboard Show. 27-13 Texans over the Jaguars. J.P. Shattuck, Mike Dempsey, and you. Phone calls are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Games in action. The Broncos just scored again. Touchdown on the ground, extra point pending. It was Anderson with the score. It's 20-3, and they're about to kick the extra point.
Third of the day for him, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Just throwing that in there.
About that. 1.25. It's not a bad pace to keep up. Chiefs lead the Cardinals 14-6 early third quarter. They just kicked it off. Seahawks-Eagles under the 2-minute warning now. It's tied at 7 in Philly. And Philly's going to have to punt it away with 1:48 to go. The Raiders lead the 49ers 10-7. That's 2-minute warning first half. And, of course, later tonight, Patriots 9-3. They're hot. They're facing the Chargers at 8-4, and they have a good quarterback, too.
All right, let's bang it out. We got phone lines loaded up, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Chris on the west side. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, guys. at the Q&A session in the off season with David Caldwell. JP, you were there. You probably remember this.
Okay.
Well, we were asking what's the most reasonable thing to expect improvement in this team. And one of the things Dave Caldwell mentioned was rushing offense. It's the most reasonable thing to expect to improve. Now, we have seen zero improvement. And so, if you ask me, somebody's got to lose their job over this. I mean, I'm not specifically targeting Jokel, but I think we should draft a tackle to increase competition at the spot. I'd like your thoughts on this.
You said rushing offense. Is that what he said, right?
Yes.
Yes. There's been bright spots in that the last, I mean, not the last couple of
about
weeks,
a month,
but,
yeah. A good month. But yeah. Out of 13 games, that's not nearly enough.
Time to get that going. I mean, the offensive line, remember, there's rookie center, rookie right guard. Right tackle's been up in the air with Pastor in and out. The left guard, Beatles, didn't play well early in the year, but had a stretch where he was playing better, which helped. And Jokel's been inconsistent. So, yeah, it's it starts there. I don't know whose head rolls or if a head rolls over that. Yeah, but I think it starts up front.
It's really been very disappointing this year.
I think Denard's taken a step in at times and played better.
He looks
more like a running back now.
That first month was very good. I think the last few weeks, though, have been just kind of eh. You know? I mean, it just – and that's one thing you'd like to see, because I agree with you. It takes a while to get it going. And then when they put him in – they kind of had it going, right? And then they've kind of lost it, I think, over the last several weeks.
Well, remember at the beginning of the year, Gerhardt gets hurt. He was going to be the starting back and be the guy. He got hurt in the first drive of the game, right? He had the ankle injury and all that, and he wasn't really the same. And do we know whether he'd have been that anyway? We don't know in hindsight. But then finally Denard found his stride. You know, hadn't seen much of Todman this year.
But, I mean, you look at today, Arian Foster, a couple of those trap plays that JT Thomas was talking about, I think, in the post-game locker room. He's running through a couple of holes that are, whether it's the design or the guys are just beating their man in front of him, that you or I could have gained 5 or 6 yards through, JP, and I am slow. And, I mean, he's, you know, the Jags are not creating those kind of opportunities. There's too much of... Toby Gerhardt's good runs are because he's breaking a couple of tackles and dragging guys, which is part of his game, but you don't want to have to rely on that. And Denard is going to have to try to make too many guys miss right now because they're very rarely getting to the second level of the defense unscathed.
I'm going to guess that they'll at some point get a tackle in the draft. I don't know if you do a left tackle, true left tackle, but I think you have to have some kind of depth there at some point. Not to replace Luke, that's not what I'm saying, but because the right tackle position has just been up in the air, and it will be again next year with the guys that are here right now, the Pastor coming off the hamstring injury, and if Young's back around.
Re-sign Pastor, assuming you do, you're a restricted free agent, which, you know, Young, and you got Josh Wells. Logman thinks that these guys will be, that the improvement is going to have to come internally, that he thinks these guys, like Josh Wells, he thinks has a bright future, thinks Sam Young has some potential as well, that you bring these guys in, let them fight it out for that right tackle spot. Nobody in this building, really, I don't think, thinks that there's any move being made at the left tackle spot.
Right. I don't think so either.
You know, and they've got a lot invested in this guy, and everything you hear, and I understand that's one of the most frustrating things, I think, for fans, because they look and they say, well, we don't see the productivity. And you hear about, well, the potential of Luke Jokel, the feet. You see the good feet, the athleticism, and all these things, but it's not producing the results you want to see out of the number two overall pick in the draft.
For goodness sakes, it's the first year for him, really. I mean,
true.
He's been hurt. He's hasn't had a full offseason in a weight room yet, really. You know, he's been hurt, and it's hard to lift and do the same things you would do if you're fully healthy. So if he stays healthy the rest of this year and goes into this next offseason, that would be fantastic for him. Let's put it that way.
Let's go to Tyler calling from Lakeland next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
Man, this offensive line, man, they're killing us. My question is, you know, it takes time for this offensive line to gel together. And like you said, even if we get another left tackle or another right tackle or whatever it is we end up getting in the draft, they're going to need so much time to gel together that it's still not even going to work next year. I mean, what do you guys think needs to be done? And that's my question.
Yeah. All right.
Good question.
Look, Linder, Bolanco, they're part of the future of this team, right? We just talk about right tackle. I don't know what's going to happen at right tackle next year.
No, I don't think anybody does.
Jokel, Beatles are likely back as your starters on the other side. They've got a lot invested in Zane Beatles. I'm not saying they won't bring it. I don't put it this way. With as many issues as they have and holes to fill still on this football team, I don't think there's been high draft picks on the offensive line. I don't think they can afford to. Now, maybe they can find some guys that can upgrade in free agency, but typically you're talking about, you know, veteran-type guys that are not the cream of the crop. Look at Miami. Miami's offensive line was atrocious last year, okay? They completely rebuilt it in one offseason. Although they did bring in a high-profile tackle in Brandon Albert from Kansas City, but now they're running the football. Lamar Miller's running it well. You can turn it around quickly. The question is, if you're sticking with the same raw material that you've got right now, will that raw material develop to where you want it to? Because Miami went with wholesale changes across that front five. So, I think you're going to be looking at a lot of the same faces battling for spots on the offensive line next year.
That's not going to make a lot of these callers happy,
no,
Mike.
No, it's not. Let's find out what's on Doug's line next. Doug is somewhere on the road calling in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good, guys. I have a couple of questions. One, first of all, I don't know what that one caller was talking about, Jokel, because J.J. Watt was lining up mostly on the left side, his left side, and going against our right tackle. So unless, I was at the game today, and I was kind of watching him, and I didn't see him get clobbered. Maybe on TV you could see it better, that he'd get beat all the time, but I didn't see it myself.
Well, hold on. Let's remember this. The first one was the bootleg where he did beat, got past Young.
Right.
He was lined up on that side. The second one was the one where Bortles slipped down. And the third one must be the one he's talking about. I can't remember exactly
what third. I think that one, he was coming from the defensive right side, the formation's left side, the one where Bortles fell down. But had he not fallen, he probably doesn't get a sack there. He might not catch him.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so.
But the third one is the one I'm having trouble remembering. And I think that's the one the caller was talking about.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, I have a question about Bortles' arm. Is his arm hurt or something? Because it seems to me that as I've watched him this week, and last week, he seems to be having trouble throwing the out pass. He's underthrowing it. I'm telling some of my neighbors in the club seats that he almost looks like his predecessor out there underthrowing balls and stuff. Because it seems to me like he's, some of those out passes he's been trying to throw are not getting there.
Yeah, not to my knowledge, JP, is there any issue with that? Could be is footwork and mechanics, too.
I remember this, just to this point. He was on the injury report with a right shoulder and a left ankle. And remember last week he had, I think Gus Bradley said in his press conference on Monday, there was an MRI, nothing came back, everything was fine, that was the word, and it wasn't really an issue. But it has to be listed since it has been mentioned. Is there? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they would totally.
Well, I don't think they're going to throw him out there if it's endangering his future or anything like that.
But I think this is the time of year though where guys get sore.
Maybe he's got a little bit of a dead arm too. You know, I'm not saying he died. I'm just saying these are possibilities, right? Just
throwing it out. I did want to mention that he has been on the injury report.
You play 12 or 13 games in college, right? And it's not as intense a situation. He's played close to that. He's played basically a college season at this point in time. So, made it through last year pretty well in college. Didn't seem to have any arm issues. So, I don't think there's a big issue there, if there is one.
Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Scobie was good twice today, but not long enough. 33 and 37 yards. So, nobody's eating
offense
free subs.
Is too good. Drove too deep.
That's what happens.
Today to feed everybody.
That's what happens. We'll come back in a moment. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter is next. Hacker and T-Wigger standing by. 641-1010 is the number there. Our final moments after this. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. The final score, 27-13. Texans over the Jags. Texans are 7-6. They're still two back in the division. Indy won today. They'll face off against each other next week, and if the Colts win that one, they will be the AFC South Division champions for 2014. The Jags are 2-11. New system, new routes, new way. The JTA has transformed to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. Their new routes mark the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. And time for an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And positive today, no true significant injuries of note today, which is a good sign.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, you hate to see guys, especially last month of the season. You want them going healthy into the offseason. Like you talked about with Luke Joeckel last year, you don't want the guys to spend half the offseason just rehabbing to get back to where they can start working out and getting stronger and, you know, developing that timing and all the other things that they need to work on this offseason. So that, from that standpoint, a positive today.
The Jaguars get the Baltimore Ravens on the Inner Harbor next week, the day after the Army-Navy game in that stadium, by the way. And they'll go in the next day and try to knock off the Ravens, who are right in the thick of it in the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, with Cincinnati losing today particularly, I mean, it's a, you know, everybody in that division is still alive, although Cleveland blowing that game late puts them a step back. So you're playing a team that obviously is not going to overlook you. They've got a lot to play for. They're playing pretty well right now, certainly. Played without Torrey Smith today and still were able to put up 28 points. Joe Flacco's having a pretty solid year. Steve Smith has helped that team. And, you know, a number of former Jaguars are going to be pivotal in that game. Their left tackle, of course, is Eugene Monroe. Darryl Smith has been playing outstanding football since they picked him up a couple of years ago off of the free agent market. And Justin Forsett, likewise, wasn't expected to be the guy. But with Ray Rice getting suspended and Bernard Pierce ineffective and injured early in the year, Forsett got his opportunity and has run with it and hasn't looked back.
We'll see, see a couple of former Jags next week. Darryl Smith is there, right? Eugene Monroe is around, and that'll be interesting next week in Baltimore. How about that?
I think it will. Well, you know, for the Jags, it's one of three last opportunities they have. It's, I would think, on paper, the least likely victory, the best opponent they have left on the schedule. I think Baltimore's better than Houston. They still have to go to Houston, and then, of course, Tennessee coming into town. Don't forget, by the way, if you're on the line, the fifth quarter is coming up in moments. They will take your calls.
Hacker and T-Wig are standing by. 641-1010 is the number there. They will take your calls following the Jags' loss today to the Houston Texans. Joe Fortunato is here. Linda Fortunato as well. Tony Smith for Mike Dempsey and everyone involved. Happy birthday, Mike Dempsey.
Oh, stop.
Is it your birthday today?
No, it's not.
Been on the air for 7 hours?
It's not my birthday today.
What?
Stop it.
I just found the last 10 seconds, it's your birthday?
Too late. Gotta go.
Happy birthday to Mike Dempsey. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.